This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, welcome back. Hello.
Hello.
I always actually wondered what if Adele, before she writes those songs, so if you didn't listen to the first hour, we played what happens on the other side of the phone when Adele phones you. You know, like, does she trial her songs by, like, having these phone calls where she basically fights with her ex? Pretty funny if she did, though.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, my buddy's just changed seats.
Yeah, I did. Sorry. Okay. There's so much room in the studio currently, so I get to move around and sit wherever I want.
Exactly. So, Gareth's still in Belvedere, and he's doing quite a lot on Instagram. So, if you are wondering where Gareth is and what he's up to, well, you can just follow him on Instagram, and you'll see him. Pictures in the snow. And yesterday he met up with Hi Rob, and they had a good jolly time. So he'll be back on Tuesday. He gets back in the country, I think, on Monday, but obviously he gets back after the show. So Tuesday you'll be able to hear Gareth Cliff again back here. As for Sierra Sangweni, well, that's just it. It's a mystery of life, isn't it?
It is indeed.
I'll tell you what's also a bit of a mystery is how we end up looking like our pets. Well, look, I mean, you don't have a pet now, so...
No, it's best for the animal involved that I do not have a pet, trust me.
Fair enough. But what we've been doing with One Plan Pet Insurance is that we've been asking you to submit pictures of you and your pet on social media, and then there is a cash prize. There is all in for you after posting a picture of you and your pet. So we're going to announce that today. That's going to be the big thing. It's going to be on cliffcentral.com, so look out for that. And if you didn't know... there's actually been a study in Sweden which basically said you will live longer with your pet. Basically, a pet allows you to live longer. We've been saying this for 101, for over and over, and I know that I will live longer because of meows.
If she doesn't try and kill you again.
She won't. I told you, it's never going to happen. But with One Plan Pet Insurance, you can make sure your pets can get the best of medical treatment as well when they need it, from as little as 133 Rand per month. All you have to do is SMS CLIFF to 31644 now, and One Plan will call you back. SMS CLIFF to 31644. Pet insurance, along with all the other competitions we've had, it's been a fun month of this. And, of course, last month as well. And we know that Ari and his pet, Chi-Chi, the Chow Chow, well, they look kind of identical. So I don't mind losing to that, actually. I've come to terms with this. Anyway, it is the Friday, and Mubs is going to get you back in touch with what's going on in the world. Mubs, what are the big sort of stories that we should know about right now?
Well, listen, we have to take a closer look at some of the things that Quincy Jones has revealed.
Keeps on revealing.
An interview that he did recently. Oh, man, all kinds of bombs being dropped left, right, and center. Quincy saying some things that people are finding difficult to stomach in some instances. And then in other instances, you know, just saying things that a couple of people might not agree with. So let's take a look at this. It involves everything from Michael Jackson to the Beatles to who killed JFK. And then also Marlon Brando gets thrown into that mix. Let's begin with Quincy Jones's credentials, because the man is talented and he has done a lot. So when he speaks, people pay attention and they listen. He's a record producer, an actor, a conductor, arranger, composer, a musician, a television producer, film producer, instrumentalist. The list goes on. Add to fact the caliber of music industry heavyweights that he's worked with, everyone from Michael Jackson to Frank Sinatra and many, 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 many more. Mm-hmm. And then in this recent interview with Vulture magazine, Jones spoke his mind on a whole bunch of topics. Let's begin with Michael Jackson, right? So
it's a very good start.
It's a very good start because, as we know, him and Michael Jackson, you know, for the longest of time, they had a good working relationship. Between the two of them, they gave us some great music.
Yep.
And then Jones decided that now was the time to reveal that Jackson was a music thief. Quote, I hate to get
in. that isn't like a subtle jibe. That's pretty much a... Take that, bitches.
I mean, that's pretty much, you know, just Jones saying, well, I'm here to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Quote, I hate to get into this publicly, but Michael stole a lot of stuff. He stole a lot of songs. Donna Summer's State of Independence and Billie Jean. The notes don't lie, man. He was as Machiavellian as they come. And then Jones added that the pop icon had a problem with his looks because his father told him that he was ugly and he abused him, and that was why he had a lot of plastic surgery. You remember the jokes about Michael Jackson's nose.
Yes.
The producer also revealed the person who... Okay, well, firstly, I mean, that whole Michael Jackson thing. So we were actually discussing this yesterday among a group of my friends, and I said, look, I'm okay with Quincy Jones saying all of these things, you know, if he feels that now is a time for him to drop bombshells. And a lot of people got very upset and were very emotionally affected by these accusations that are being leveled about Michael Jackson, because, you know, for the longest time he was the king of pop. People held him in high regard. People that want to have just good thoughts about Michael. And now that he is no longer, you know, they want his legacy to kind of be left alone. And all I was saying was, but would it be that far-fetched to believe that a Michael Jackson stole a song or two? This is the music industry. It's competitive as all hell. Back in the day when Michael Jackson was number one, sure, he could have gotten there on his own merits, but is it not plausible to think that he maybe took, you know, he took short corners here or there?
Exactly.
I wouldn't be surprised if all of this turns out to be true, that Michael Jackson stole songs. I mean, we know of plenty of instances where musicians have stolen something. I mean, for one thing, Elvis Presley admitted once that he's actually never written any of his songs, like an entire song by himself. Like, all that stuff was, you know, it was, he got from songwriters.
So Elvis was like Katy Perry?
No, well, I mean, he I have to find the interview in question, because he basically admitted that, no, I mean, I am not the sole songwriter, have never been on any of my songs. I usually work with somebody else, or, you know,
it's normal.
Yeah, which is normal. Or then, you know, I just sing a brilliantly written piece by somebody else. And that is perfectly fine, guys. Like, We have to get over holding these people and worshipping them and holding them in such high regard that we think that they are, you know, untouchable.
But again, let's go back to this. It's quite a bombshell. Stealing songs. Like,
yeah.
You can steal a riff, perhaps. You can have something that's quite similar. But, I mean, if you, like, taking an entire song word for word. See, there's different areas of theft here. Like, it's Quincy... Imagine Joe Jackson going up to young talented artists, slapping him around and taking the songs for Michael.
I don't know how detailed Quincy gets in the interview itself, because what I'm reading here is a summarized version, but he alludes to the fact that Billie Jean was something that may have been somebody else's original thought, original idea, and then Michael Jackson ended up profiting from it all by himself, and it came across as if it was Michael's brainchild.
Yeah, but you can also be in a coffee shop, and someone starts talking about, like, a couple of lines, and they'll be like, oh, it'd be really great if we can get, like, a Michael Jackson sound on this. Michael hears it and goes, yeah. I'm totally going to do that.
Yeah. It sounds good. It sounds like it will be a good fit. Okay. So then the producer then got on to speaking about John F. Kennedy. And as far as he is concerned, and I mean, we know there have been tons and tons of conspiracy theories about who killed John F. Kennedy, the 35th president of the United States. Well, this is what Quincy says. Chicago mobster Sam Giancana. Joe Kennedy, he was a bad man. He came to Frank to give him... to have him talk to Giancana about getting votes. So that is all the information that is made available in this summary here. It's basically Quincy saying, well, John F. Kennedy was in the business of dealing with gangsters. He tried to enlist the help of this said gangster, and it was all about securing votes for him. And as far as he's concerned, things then went pear-shaped, and that is who killed John F. Kennedy. But as I say, there have been tons and tons of conspiracy theories about who killed John F. Kennedy.
But this is the problem with conspiracy theories, is that you can always find an element of truth somewhere along the line. Because, you know, politics, as we always keep saying, is a dirty game.
Yeah.
In order to get to the top, you've got to be crooked like Hillary. And even then, you know, you need the extra something to take you over the line.
Sure. There's where there's smoke, there's fire, I believe is the saying.
Well, there's also a shooter on the grassy knoll.
This is true. Then he was asked to, you know, kind of suss the Beatles out, you know, to give his impression of what he thinks about them. And Jones, well, let's just say that he is not a fan of the Beatles. Quote, worst musicians in the world.
Jeepers,
they were no playing motherfuckers. Paul was the worst bass player I ever heard. And Ringo, don't even get me started. Look, even we've made fun of Ringo on this show. But yeah, he doesn't hold the Beatles in any kind of regard whatsoever. Quincy Jones, he's not interested. He's literally called them the worst musicians ever.
No playing motherfuckers.
No playing motherfuckers is what he says.
That's the... As insults go, I mean, that's pretty as good as it gets.
Yeah, like, no, it's pretty severe. Then he revealed an interesting bit of information about how he used to date Ivanka Trump.
Oh, wow.
Yes, Donald's ex-wife.
But obviously before Donald.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Although, yes, I would think so, yeah. I would think so. Oof, I hope not during, because that would make for awkward conversations. He noted that modern pop is bad. Yes, we're looking at you, Taylor Swift and Katy Perry and all of you pop stars. As far as Quincy Jones is concerned, you're all making bad music. Because he says it just loops, it's beats, it's rhymes and hooks. So he's not interested in pop music at all, at least today's pop music. But he did praise some of the modern musicians. He likes Bruno Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Chance the Rapper, he threw in there. Kendrick Lamar, he had some nice things to say about him, saying, I like where Kendrick's mind is. He's grounded. He's good. Jones went as far as saying that Marlon Brando had sexual intercourse with all types of people, including Marvin Gaye and Richard Pryor.
Marlon Brando had sex.
Yes, Marlon Brando, of course, was the...
With Marvin Gaye.
Well, with a lot of people, according to Quincy. He says he, Marlon Brando, was the most charming motherfucker you ever met. He'd fuck anything. Anything.
Wow.
He'd fuck a mailbox. James Baldwin, Richard Pryor, Marvin Gaye. Come on, man. He did not give a fuck.
Seems to have lots, though. That's incredible. And also, kind of like, but he's dead, so, I mean, we can't verify the story.
We can't verify a lot of these stories because a lot of the people in question are dead, conveniently.
Damn, Quincy.
Listen, Quincy, I don't know what possessed you to suddenly decide to clean house like this, but, you know, again, with the conversation that I was having with my friends, some of them were saying, well, you know what, Mr. Jones, it's all well and good for you to decide to, you know, reveal everything like you're in some kind of confessional. But let's just hope that your own house is clean. And I think now some people are going to be hoping that some or other kind of dirt gets revealed about Quincy's own Smolanyana skeletons.
But exactly. Once you put yourself out like this, and he hasn't really offended anybody. He's made some people look like legends. Obviously, Paul McCartney won't like him. But on the back of this, you know, it's like all the Hollywood thing. He said Quincy, did Quincy rape anyone? Was he involved in any sort of quaaluding? I'd love to know what he's got to say about Bill Cosby. Because you know he would have a story.
I think he was asked to comment about Bill Cosby, but then he said something along the lines of, I cannot speak too much on that. I think so. Again, I'd have to go into the in-depth interview itself.
Well, we spoke about conspiracy theories, so put two and two together here. If he can't speak about Bill Cosby, then he may be involved with things with Bill Cosby.
And then if you are involved with things or in things with Bill Cosby, then why are you putting yourself up on the line like this by, you know, starting to reveal everybody else's business? I don't know.
But
the full interview is on Vulture magazine, which you can just search for online.
So, look, I think what it comes down to as well, and this is originally from that GQ interview, and you've got to hand it to good journalism, because what the guy obviously did was he got Quincy into a position where, if you notice with good interviews, like you notice how Gareth goes about good interviews, is that it's all about how you start them. You start them in a relaxed, normal manner.
Yeah.
You don't just go and start hammering in. Okay, so hi, you are this blah, 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 blah. Because then they feel like they're on trial.
No, you've got to get them relaxed first. You've got to get them to trust
it's
you.
It's all seduction.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
So what I've got to say from this person who originally got this interview out in GQ is that this person must have seduced Quincy into the right sort of setting.
Yeah.
Where Quincy felt like this is it. This is the ability. This is the place where I can really throw this out there. And then, you know, once you become like a rolling boulder, you can't really stop.
Yeah, can't take it back after that.
And then once it's out there, you're thinking, okay, that story is really good. I've got great reaction from this guy. It's now led to this story. And while I'm at it, I might as well tell this story. And then before you know it, Marlon Brando is having sex with Marvin Gaye.
Or a mailbox.
Because that's probably not a story that you were ever going to tell in your life.
Yeah.
Until you found the right scenario, which obviously was created here. So well done to that journalist. I think that guy needs a prize of some sort.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
But let's put a stopwatch on Quincy getting involved in some sort of scandal now, as you say, because he's throwing himself out there.
Yeah, let's just hope, as I say, that, you know, his own backyard is clean, because there might be one or two people looking to find some dirt on Quincy after this one.
Yeah. Simon says, that body like a back road tune you play at the top of the hour sounds like something John Mayer would write. Simon, full disclosure, we played a double, and that was just the next one on.
Yeah.
We had to go, you know, because we're a little bit low staffed today, and if you notice, so we're pulling the strings here and there. Then, another message. Hi, my name is Copano. I have listened to the show and you guys for just over 3 years now. I love your show, and it keeps me up to date with what's going on back home while I freeze my ass off in London. I'm catching a super early flight for a short left to Milan. So I just want to drop in and say hello to the team. You guys kick ass, with or without Gareth. Mabali is my spirit animal. Can I taste your juice?
Kopano, it's good that you've messaged us, and it's nice to hear of your travels as well from the UK to Milan. Must be nice. And the answer is no.
Oh, but I mean, he tried. Again, he was like the GQ journalist. He was seducing you with other stories.
Yes.
And then he went for the juice after that.
Yeah.
Great try. Hi, this is from someone else. I wonder if you can get hold of a few flat earthers and ask them about Tesla and the space footage that's coming from that car right now.
Oh. Do we know any sort of well-known flat earthers that are within our reach? I mean, I'm not talking about B.O.B. or...
No, everyone gets laughed off and everyone forgets who they are.
Mm.
But it is quite something. Obviously, this week there was the big talk about the Falcon Heavy or whatever Elon Musk was throwing into the stratosphere.
Sure.
And all these images of this Tesla with this mannequin driving, and this Tesla's orbiting our lovely Earth. Of course, in order to orbit an Earth, you must go around in circles,
yes,
not up and down.
Yes, or left to right.
Yeah, so yeah, it's the whole flat Earth thing. Very funny. And again, one of the best PR stunts we've ever seen in our entire lives. Mm. So good on you, Elon Musk. I saw an interesting tweet yesterday about this whole thing. It's that when white South Africans become back massive international successes, everyone lauds them for being these amazing individuals. Yet here in our own country, they are often put down and they're seen as white monopoly capital. So it's all about going overseas and being Elon Musk. Mm. Otherwise, you're white monopoly capital and you've been given shit.
Okay.
Twitter always gives it from the left side, huh?
Twitter, and the right side. Twitter gives it from all sides, man. From the left, right, from the back to the front. Like
Marlon Brando. Just yeah, all sides.
Yeah, allegedly.
All sides. There was another message here, Mubs, about you and the Spice Girls. Mm-hmm. And yesterday we spoke about the Spice Girls. I've got to scroll back here.
Okay.
And we all thought it was a bad idea for them to get together.
Well, I just thought, why would Victoria Beckham bother? Because I would imagine that for her, she would see it as a situation that's actually beneath her at this point in her life.
Yeah, sure. Here we go. I'm with Mbali. Perhaps the Spice Girls should just call themselves the Hot Flushes for their reunion. Seems more apt.
Wow. Oh, yes. I said it's kind of silly for them to come back as Spice Girls. All of them are like, you know, in their 40s.
Yeah,
like, you're not a girl.
Pastors. Hi, Ben. Apart from the upcoming Deadpool movie, what do you think of the solo Venom film? David, I'm not the biggest superhero kind of fanboy, I've got to say. Deadpool's just really, really funny. It's just one of those things. And Ryan Reynolds, I think, is amazing. If I were to be another person, I wouldn't mind being Ryan Reynolds for a day. I enjoy his humor. It's offbeat and dark, and obviously Deadpool is all about that. This is the thing for him. Anyway, David goes on to say the Venom teaser trailer was released last night. So if you are into this, then the Venom thing, there it is. The teaser didn't give away too much, so it was a good teaser then. And he just doesn't know what to expect. As a fan of Venom and the other symbiotes? Symbiotes?
Symbiosis.
Symbiotes? David, I really hope this won't disappoint. What the hell is a symbiote? Jeepers, I really have, like, I don't know what's going on here.
I don't know if English is your mother tongue.
No, but David obviously knows what you're talking about here because me or David?
You!
S-Y-M-B-I-O-T-E-S.
S-Y-M-B-I-O-T-S.
Symbiosis?
Symbiotes? I don't know. Dave, you'll have to help. Is it Dave?
David, you got
to
stop.
David, you've got to help us. You've got to try and spell it out phonetically. I don't know. Symbiotes, I don't know.
Okay, another message. I'm no huge Bruno Mars fan, but I just can't take it when guys make broad sweeping statements which are anecdotal opinions presented as fact. So, I did some research on the most middle-of-the-road artists. Contrary to Gareth's stupid belief, Bruno can actually play musical instruments. He plays piano, keyboard, drums, guitar, saxophone, double bass, and played the tuba in high school. So much for an untalented artist who doesn't deserve Grammy Awards, of which isn't a vote like a political general election, it's based on numbers. He's had 7 number one hits, 15 top 10 hits, and he does write music. Your BS theory about him stealing golden oldies beats is nonsense. He's written for many artists and has his own hits, 24 Karat Magic, Grenade, etc. Okay, let's back this up. None of us ever said Bruno Mars isn't talented. It's just that what he produces is really unoffensive. And again, we're not discrediting that because that's music.
Yeah.
Music is what you create. Just like art, it's in the eye of the beholder. And Bruno has many beholders. Eyes.
No. Yes, Bruno is talented. Yeah. But at the end of the day, his stuff, his work, the stuff that I've seen him sing, it's not original. As I was saying, it's stuff that you've heard before, so I wasn't as impressed by it.
Yeah. So to carry on with this very long detailed message, which we do thank you for, is that no doubt he is supremely talented. He really is. And he did start out, we acknowledge this, he started out writing for other people, which is how you make real money in obviously the music industry. But this whole thing about having his own hits, 24 Karat Magic, we played the video about Nerdwriter, who said that basically what Bruno Mars does is he just samples the world. And this entire Nerdwriter video around that is that that song is scientifically proven to make you dance because of the samples that he's used and the synth and all that kind of stuff. So, again, Bruno is he's a musical phenomenon, but he is creating something that, like, if white people dance to music at weddings.
Here we go!
There's the benchmark.
Okay, I actually want to see where this analogy is going to go. Start again.
That's exactly what it is.
Start again.
What do you mean? I just said it.
Look,
Bruno is hugely talented. That's why he can pick and choose who he works with, what he wants to do, and there's no doubt about that. But his music is designed to be down the road, down middle of the road artist. That's what you said. Yeah, sure. But his stuff is... It's so smart because millennials don't know that he's sampling other people. If we can carry on fighting with this. Maybe I haven't done the argument justice. Carry on. To call yourselves anything but a social commentary podcast would be criminal. You are not the most factual media outlet, but I still love you, Mubs.
Okay.
Venom and Carnage are symbiotes. They need another host for them to survive. Ah, smart. Okay, gotcha.
No, I still don't understand. What?
So if you're a symbiote, which I know I'm not pronouncing this right, you need another host in order to survive. So basically, Jacob Zuma has used the ANC to survive, so he's a symbiote of some sort. He'll have to parasite onto something else. So it's the Guptas or something else.
Okay.
So that's to make a current affairs. I hope I've done you. Ben, read my message. I just did. Okay, enough messages. Jeepers, these things are rolling up. Look at us.
Can we...
Like a message bitch here this morning.
Can we look at how different families live and just, you know, question some of the decisions that they take?
Carry on.
There is a father and a daughter who are now facing incest charges.
Oh, no. This is a horrible story.
Yeah. After reports that they've had sexual relations and they plan to tie the knot. Stephen Walter Plady is 42 years old. He's from Virginia in America. And his biological daughter, Katie Rose Plady, is just 20 years old. She's from North Carolina. They were arrested last week after Stephen's ex-wife told police that he had gotten her pregnant.
Mm.
Yes, Joseph Fritzl vibes. So according to police warrants, Katie was legally adopted after she was born, but then she used social media to track down her biological parents, which is when she found her father, Stephen. After finally making contact with them, Katie moved into the family home in Virginia back in August of 2016, where she lived with her parents and her two siblings. Now, Stephen's wife, who hasn't been named, then moved out of the family home in November of 2016, and she decided to get legally separated from Stephen. According to warrants, Stephen asked his siblings to call Katie their stepmom and told his ex-wife that he was the father of his biological daughter's child.
Deep.
After a warrant for Stephen and Katie's arrest was issued in November of last year, the pair were detained and charged with incest with adult. They were charged with adultery and contributing to delinquency. A baby boy believed to be the pair's son was found with them. And last year, Katie posted a picture of the little one on Facebook, captioning it, Carolina Air. The father and daughter were held at the Wake County Detention Center in Virginia before being released on $1 million bail.
Oh, that's your bail. That's just society does not want to be part of your life.
Oh, there's so much that is wrong here. So let's begin with the fact that this girl was adopted by a separate couple when she was born. So by the time that she found her biological father, she hadn't been growing up with him. She hadn't been raised by him. She essentially didn't know him. They didn't know each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then what? So then you just become attracted to your daughter? I mean, how does this work, people?
See, this is why you got to have sports in your life. You got to have hobbies. He's just sitting around staring at shit all day. This is when things happen.
Oh, gosh. He's 42. She's 20 years old. I mean, if she had been underage, this would be even worse. It would be far worse for
him. It's like a Woody Allen story, kind of. Just worse.
Just worse, because now, in this case, this is your actual biological daughter. Wait, with Woody Allen, was that his biological daughter or his adopted daughter?
No, his adopted daughter.
Yeah, but it's still very close to home. So, yes, incest charges. Ugh. Very creepy.
It is a bit creepy. But I tell you what's also quite creepy is Germans masturbating.
But why aren't Germans allowed to masturbate?
No, it's fine. But the problem is that there are such freaks that often it leads to death.
What?
Every single year it has been reported. Well, okay, in recent times, it's been reported. Wait for it. 80 to 100 Germans die every year through masturbation.
Okay, what? How are the Germans masturbating that it's so life or death for them?
Okay. Michael Hutchinson. Let's go back in time a bit here. The lead singer of INXS.
Yeah.
He was basically found hung from a door frame or something.
Okay.
Auto asphyxiation. So he was knocking one off while trying to strangle himself at the same time.
Yeah.
And then obviously there's that whole auto asphyxiation heightened climax thing because you've got no oxygen. And it gets to that moment, and there's this absolute euphoria.
Yes.
So what the Germans are doing, who knows what the Germans are doing. But
it's a little scary to find out what the Germans are doing.
The deaths range from 13 to 79.
This is all because of auto-asphyxiation.
Let that be known. Once you hit 80, you know your limits. 13 to 79. No, it's just, auto-erotic asphyxiation is the leading cause of masturbation deaths. And it's 80 to 100 every single year.
Yeah, that's quite a high number.
One man was found dead after attempting to melt cheese onto his body.
Okay.
Another died after clamping Christmas tree lights to his own nipples. I do not make this stuff up, people. I do not make it up at all.
Oh.
Wowzers. I mean, yeah, obviously we all see, you know, that scene from Something About Mary where the Ben Stiller character goes into the toilet and he gets his ball stuck in his zipper. And everyone thought that it was obviously just some sort of masturbation thing. But yeah, this is it. This is no actual laughing matter.
Jeez. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like just normal sexual activity is very underrated. Oh, you're melting cheese on yourself. Why?
Yeah, see, that's probably one of the more exotic ones. But yeah, vacuum cleaners, they also being involved?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just got visuals of how that goes down, and I'm a little bit disturbed, but yeah.
Yeah, so vacuum cleaners. But I think the worst part of the story is the indignity for family, friends, related people when these people are found.
Yes.
Dead from masturbating, because that must be the ultimate shame.
Yeah.
I'm not condoning this, but, you know, people will obviously always try things for sexual highs. So what's going to happen, okay? So you've run that road and you failed. But now what if you're this person's mother or this person's wife or husband or
now I've got
brother or whatever, and now you find this person with melted cheese all over their body or Christmas lights in their nipples and they're dead and their genitals are out. And
yeah.
And like, well, what do you tell the cops? Because you don't want to say... Oh,
and what do you do? Do you kind of tamper with the body so that by the time the authorities arrive, it's not as humiliating for the deceased? Or do you just leave things as is?
I know. And there I was starting the show today telling you my problem was about my upgrade and I feel forced into getting a certain phone.
I mean,
imagine finding like, or it's Christmas Eve and you find your drunkle with the Christmas lights around his balls. Yep, that's how we segue incest stories in this show. There's a message here. Incest is sick, but throwing a couple of hicks in jail and setting bail at $1 million while shitheads like Zuma can fuck an entire country says a lot about humanity. None of it is good. Let the two idiots fuck one another. It is their sick choice. Can't argue with that wisdom. Really can't. What else is happening in this sick world, Maps, where humanity has no balance?
Well, maybe a little... less sick of a story.
That's good. The last two are shockers.
Sorry. I mean, you know, for a Friday, I might have got a little bit overboard there. So let's bring it down a notch. Emoji lovers out there will be delighted to hear that there are 157 new emoji options coming to your phone this year. Yay! And people boasting a particular hair color will be especially delighted with the news.
Gingers?
Yes, Ben.
Finally, the gingers get something.
Finally, the redheads. I still feel so uncomfortable calling them gingers.
Look, I actually feel like uncomfortable calling them redheads because I don't like talking about color.
Yes, white people dancing at the wedding. You definitely don't like talking about color. I always thought that ginger was a derogatory term. I don't know why.
No, I actually think it's quite playful. Ranga, that's derogatory because it's short for orangutan.
Okay.
So I think if you call a ginger person a ranga.
Okay.
A copper top.
Carrot top as well.
Carrot top's also, well, that's probably also a bit mean because it's a juvenile sort of Fanta pants. Fire crotch.
Okay, yeah.
These are slightly more on the more risque things. I think if you... A ginger's a ginger because it rhymes with ninja. So it's got an air of sophistication plus playful familiarity around it.
Okay, all right.
It's like if you said, I'm dating a ginger, they'd be like, okay, cool, progressive, we get you. If you say you're dating a fire crotch, you really are objectifying them a little bit too much.
But where does the ginger come from? What does it originate from? What's the explanation behind it? Because I'm thinking now of actual ginger, you know, the stuff that you put into your tea when you've got a cold. I don't understand the connection between the two.
Yeah, because ginger isn't...
Or is it the ginger biscuits because of the color of the biscuits? Anyway, it really doesn't matter. Whatever you want to call them, they are finally going to be represented in emoji form. It's going to happen by the end of 2018 on Apple and Android phones. So red hair is just one of the new hairstyles that have been included in the lineup set by the Unicode Consortium. They're a non-profit organization which sets the standard emoji for users worldwide. Wow, they set the standard. I didn't realize it was that serious.
Yeah, but then are you going to get shades of ginger? You know, like when you push your finger down on like a white person, you get like two shades of white. Then you get like a sort of colored in between. Then you get two shades of black. I mean, is there going to be shades of ginger?
I don't know if they're going to go that detailed, Ben. Probably, yes. I mean, you get different shades of ginger hair, don't you?
Yeah,
so then they should probably have that option.
That's such a sensitive question. Of course you do.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so gingers, you know, we've been looking out for you for quite some time now. And it's just nice to know that you get your day on the emoji calendar as well.
Yeah, actually, if we just take a quick look through the emoji calendar, who else still needs to be represented? Because, I mean, let's face it, we live in that kind of world now where everybody has some representation. And if it bothers you or if you don't like it, I mean, that's your own indaba. But who still needs to be represented if we just go through the calendar? We've got the normal yellow faces.
Fat people.
There's no real chubba
emojis.
Yeah.
Because if fat is fabulous, and this again, that's not me saying it, that's just a term. If fat is a thing, then why aren't there more chubba emojis?
There aren't any fat emojis. You are absolutely right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a pregnant woman. There's a woman with a baby.
Yeah, but the pregnant woman's skinny. The pregnant woman's like Posh Spice.
Yes, no, she's like...
her ankles have not swollen.
Exactly. She doesn't represent the average pregnant woman who goes through the most during that time, as if I know anything about it. But from what I can see from the outside looking in, it looks like y'all are going through a lot. Yeah. You've got the family emoji. Sure, you've actually got, wow. So you've got the family emoji, as in both parents, and you've got single mom, single dad. Okay, they really thought this through.
Wow. Look, I mean, I know it's a Friday, and we want to try and make things a little bit lighter and funnier, but there's something I've been wanting to talk about, but it's just never had the moment, so I'm just going to throw it in. Do you know what a deep fake is?
Deep fake... The way that I understand this to be used in conversations that I've heard or read is when somebody is trying to come across as in touch with something, but it's all fake.
No, I think porn. It's a form of AI where you're basically superimposing someone's face onto a porn star's body. Now, it's become quite realistic, so you can basically find, I don't know, you find a deep fake of your favorite celebrity, and you can superimpose their face onto the actor, to the bodies of porn actors. So therefore, you're watching porn with your favorite actor slash celebrity.
So if I go to bed every night and I dream about rapper Common doing yes. wonderful things to
yes.
me,
now,
I can now watch a bit of porn with Common's face on the porn actor.
Well, this is an article. This is on Unilad about what Pornhub have now got to the point where they've had to ban deep fakes.
Why?
So basically, it's there's increased hugely in the last few weeks. People are superimposing celebrities or well-known people onto the bodies of porn stars. But it's a complete and utter violation of human rights, when you think about it.
Okay.
Although it's fake, sure, we get that. But it's becoming such a thing now, and obviously with technology being what it is,
mm-hmm.
is that with whole AI and all the other kind of really smart stuff that's coming in here, it's actually becoming a real problem. So if you, I mean, put it this way, Mubs, if there's a section on Pornhub that's like Mabali Maloy POV, but someone's basically taken a variety of your facial expressions on camera or whatever it is, and now you are in the body of a porn star.
Okay.
So there's like, and there's videos upon videos, and people then start sharing those, and essentially everyone knows it's fake, but it's still your face. That's a human rights violation, right? Hence, Pornhub are taking the stand now of banning deep fakes.
Okay. A human rights violation? I mean, are we putting this in the same category as starving children or people who don't have access to clean water? Is that what we're really saying here?
Well, the great thing about human rights is there's an endless conversation. I mean, there's so many of the human rights violations.
But if everybody knows that it's fake, then what is the issue? What is the problem?
Yeah, correct. And that's why no one's really cared about the funny memes. Like, people have put Nick Cage's face into a variety of things.
Yeah.
But because it's gone to the level of pornography, that is where the difference comes.
But we still understand that it's fake, and at the end of the day, the celebrity involved, he hasn't been hurt in any way.
Yes, but when you Google search, I don't know, Mabali Maloy porn, and a video comes up of a deep fake and you an actual porn, the connotation is that you are being associated with porn. I know using your example is bad because you don't really care and you will forget about it like in 3 seconds.
Mm.
But say, for instance, you are, I don't know, just name any real like positive act. Actress trying to do the right job out there, like Jennifer Lawrence. She's a big deal. Now, if you had to type in Jennifer Lawrence threesome and they've deep faked her onto like you and someone else.
Okay, but then, I mean, we've also seen movies of Jennifer Lawrence in a lovemaking scene, and like, okay, I understand that there's a need to attach this negative connotation to porn, but pornography is people having sex, and every single one of us do that. We all have sex.
Well, Casey Wang.
Who's Casey Wang?
Exactly, but Casey Wang has got some interesting thing to say on the whole matter. My personal on deepfakes AI porn is, yes, the tech is mind-blowing. See, again, because the whole, yes, it's fake, but it's so good that it could actually be believable. It's actually almost believable.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, the tech is mind-blowing. Yes, I love porn. Yes, I support remix culture. But, yes, I also support women being able to consent to viral, hyper-realistic porn. And if a yes, they should get royalty checks. So for that reason, I'm out. That's Casey Wang.
They should get... Okay, Casey now there's throwing in an interesting spin on things.
Casey Wang makes some interesting points there.
Okay, I like the point that she makes about they should get royalty checks.
So if you are now... again, we use your example. Mabali Maloy POV is now a viral trendy sensation that if you go to, say, I don't know, Indonesia tomorrow, or you go to Germany where these guys are about to masturbate themselves to death, they'll point at you in the streets and they'll go, ah, Mabali Maloy. And
no, but no, guys. Also, how many times have you walked past a porn star in the street and you pointed at them and you said, ah, la la da 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 da?
Yes, like, but they're a porn star. They've chosen that life. You have not chosen that life.
But there's no way that a random person would recognize me on the street after having watched a video that's gone viral of me, necessarily. Not necessarily.
Are you telling me those girls from two cups?
Two girls, one cup. I've never watched that video. I don't know what those girls look like.
But it was a viral sensation.
Yeah.
And people will recognize them as being those people.
Mm.
You're like the worst example to put to the side. You've got the least amount of victim mentality that ever thought possible.
You know what? Maybe I just need to process it for a while. And I do like the angle that Casey Wang brought up about them getting royalty checks. If anything, yeah, you know, it speaks to that whole you're using my likeness thing.
Yes.
Or you're using my image.
Yes, okay.
Okay, that's okay. Let me marinate on this for a while.
So we've learned something there. There's just so many messages today. I don't know what it is.
I can't read them, though.
This one. Okay, it's heavy. I'll give it a go. Apart from incest and rape, under what circumstances should abortion be legal? The left likes saying a woman's right to choose, but what about the choice she made in having consensual sex without a condom? Falling pregnant, biology, duh. Then realizing, nah, I don't want this ball of cells growing inside of me. If the latter scenario constitutes for more than 95% of abortions, should it be legal?
Should the alternative then to have women popping up babies that they don't want? Because that proposes a whole new range of issues as well.
Yeah. Whoever sent the message, you are talking to a very pro-choice audience here. I think you'll get a very quick answer. And then another message. I like men. But really, what is wrong with men?
Oh. Okay, I get it. So, like, there's a guy frustrating you right now.
That's life, huh?
That is life.
That's life.
That's
well,
just the way it is.
You know, we made a conscious effort this week about trying to stay away from Cape Town water crisis stories because we've had so many.
Yeah.
So we got to carry on with that. And we'll let Gareth pick it up because, you know, Gareth will talk about it all the time. So if you are wondering if we're being insensitive to the situation, no.
Far from it. I mean, we've spoken about it every day on this show.
But I will tell you one thing is that there is some more fears around sort of diseases and illnesses coming up from lack of cleanliness. So Listeriosis spikes,
yeah.
Increased cases of diarrhea. Cape Town, just keep clean and watch out. So my buddy, another problem with deep fakes, this is a message, is when people start using it to get back at exes after a bad breakup, for example.
Okay, because then that would be lumped into the revenge porn category, which we now know is illegal.
Yeah, we've spoken about revenge porn quite a lot in the show. Very good
okay,
message.
Okay, that's a good point. I acknowledge that.
Yeah. Okay, so deep fakes. I mean, look, I'm glad I brought it up.
I'm going to have to Google this stuff because I knew nothing about it until this morning, honest to God.
Okay, this is the last message you're going to read. Can't get through anything this morning. We're still trying to find Sia, by the way.
Yes.
How about a message that someone's found Sia? Because we have lost one Sia Sangweni. We We did a roll call this morning, we did a stock take, and there was one of those missing. Hey guys, listening to the interview with Zimasa now. So Zimasa was our guest yesterday. Fascinating young woman. I really did enjoy that. What a fantastic initiative, says Shen. What she is offering is so lacking in today's times. Now, if you don't listen to the interview, yesterday, the part two, or there is a separate interview with Zimasa on cliffcentral.com. You've got to give it a listen. What she's offering is so lacking in today's times. I also agree wholeheartedly with Ben about learning certain life skills, proper ones, before leaving school. For example, tax, medical aid, opening accounts, etc. Because you actually get to a stage in your life when you just feel embarrassed that you don't know about these things. And then you rather stay in the dark than ask people to assist and explain it for you. Thanks for this fantastic show, guys. Keep it up. So true. Because you don't want to be the dumbass who doesn't know what medical aid is. So then you either take the wrong policy and you get absolutely shafted.
Yeah.
And then you're like stuck to this massive debit order every month. Or, even worse, you don't take anything. And then you're left with huge medical bills should something happen.
Yeah.
I think what Zimasa's doing, and when I said to her, you're going to be so rich yesterday, I wasn't lying. I think she's got, if she can corner that industry, corner that market, she will become that essential. She'll be like a modern-day Martha Stewart for all good things for young people.
Essentially, there are so many things that we could be teaching children that would better prepare them for the adult world. Because, let's face it, once you make the transition into being an adult, you quickly learn that the world is out to fuck you at every chance that it can.
But then again, it's like nature. I mean, have you ever seen a pack of buffalo running past the lion and the lion doesn't go for the weak one?
No.
That's human nature. It's the world we live in. If you are weak, you will be eaten.
Exactly, and we need to toughen up these kids.
So Zimasa is looking to make everyone a bit stronger by just being a little bit wiser. And I think, I mean, she's got my full support. I think she really is just something that's quite spectacular, actually, because she sees things and she wants to help others.
Well, that's the big thing as well, is her genuinely wanting to help other people. You know, a lot of times when people go into the entrepreneurial space, they're really just looking to help themselves or to improve themselves.
Yeah.
But she's thinking about others, so that's admirable.
Yep.
Now, here's an interesting story. Dutch MPs yesterday, they were in meetings of their own, entirely different meetings of their own, and they were debating scrapping a 19th century law, making it a criminal offense to insult the king. With backers of a draft bill saying they no longer fit a modern monarchy. But the issue is a hot-button topic in the Netherlands, where the royal family is much loved, and their down-to-earth King Willem Alexander has proved as popular as his mother, former Queen Beatrix, since he succeeded to the throne in 2013. But now people are kind of sitting around saying, hang on, so if I were to say something about me not liking the king, or, you know, if I were to want to criticize the king for a decision that he has taken or something that he has said or whatever, why is it still seen as a criminal offense? So MPs were discussing this yesterday. Yeah, you know, again, every time that these debates happen, it's just a reminder of how backwards human beings used to be and how they need to have these conversations so that they can, you know, so we can all pull each other into the modern world. I mean, come on. If I say something unpleasant or unfavorable about you, what? Your feelings get so hurt, or you are so important, or you think so highly of yourself that I must be punished for it? Fuck you. I mean, if I want to say something terrible about the king or the president or the pope or anybody, like, what is the issue here?
Well, it comes
back
to,
we all just need to grow up.
Yeah, it comes back to kind of a couple of ornate and archaic rules that,
yes,
that the royal family is superior to you, and obviously religion, that kind of stuff.
And take themselves far too seriously and think that they're far too important.
Well, it is. But also the question of what is a modern monarchy, I think that's going to come up a lot more. You know, we've spoken about, obviously, Meghan Markle going into the royal family.
Sure.
People talking about the fact that, you know, she's not of the right sort and that kind of stuff.
Yes.
But a monarchy, like anything else, has to evolve. So if people want to say bad things about this Dutch guy, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
It's Holland. I mean, what are they really going to say? Everyone's so chilled there.
Exactly. They're all chilled. Like, they're happy most of the time, or they're high most of the time, in which case they're happy most of the time. And their king seems to be a popular guy, so they're probably not a lot of people, you know, saying unfavorable things about him. But it is interesting that this was being debated in Parliament in the Netherlands yesterday. So they're looking to scrap that law that says that you cannot insult the monarchy because it is a criminal offense.
And what happens? You get detained into a prison where you get to meet with prostitutes, you get to have take drugs. I mean, Holland's a jewel. What's really going to happen to you?
Do they even have prostitutes in prison? I mean, in that country, it's all legal, isn't it?
No, I think it's a state funded thing. So if you're in prison, you can still have prostitutes.
How's that for conjugal rights? Yo, okay, must be nice, Netherlands.
We've got to wrap it up, but a couple of weeks ago, Gareth had an interview with one of the producers for Blue Planet 2. I think one of the directors came in here. I have since started watching Blue Planet 2. Oh, wow.
Okay.
It is absolutely, absolutely incredible, and there's a particular scene on the sort of Transkei Wild Coast coastline with all these different dolphins, and it's starting to really gather people. It gets starting to watch it. Now, when Planet Earth 2 came out, there was all this fanfare about these various scenes, and Blue Planet is pretty much sort of the same level. Obviously, it's just going completely into the water. And what these guys have done have created something that is absolutely beautiful. And if you do go onto YouTube, you can get the official trailer for it. But like, they go down to the deep, dark depths where basically only monsters live, and they go all around the world, and it's just a beautiful production. It really is. And you listen to the interview that Gareth had with that guy, and they talk about the fact that the BBC just plows so much money into doing this. It takes like 4 years to make this show, and these people are living out in nowhere villages, literally dedicating their lives to get that single shot of like a seahorse. Like, there was this one thing with this, I don't want to get into it. I don't want to give you spoilers away, because it just always defies reality, this thing, for me. It's like, how can you ever possibly get this close to an animal? How can you possibly do these kind of things? And the gizmos and the gadgets, it's like a Bond movie, what they use in order to get the shots, and how they get into its environments with these animals. So if you're looking for something to do this weekend, try find Blue Planet 2.
All right.
Yeah. I think that's about it, Mubs. I mean, it's been a whole week. We need to go put a missing persons report out for Sia. That's going to take about 2-3 hours. Oh, what a nightmare.
Oh, our young Sangweni Shem. Yeah, we'll find him.
Well, I mean, just, who knows? Who knows? We live in a horrible world. And Sia not singing, Sia not being here would be terrible.
Yeah, it absolutely would.
Yeah. So we don't lose any more people. Hope you have a safe weekend. The Just Now comedy show will also be, will also be here. It's Friday, of course. And then it's the sex talk with Jonty Searle. Mm-hmm. And then for the third hour, remember Gilan Gork? He's been here.
The Mentalist.
Many, many times. Very interesting guy. So in the third hour today, we're going to play an interview that he had with Gareth. Now, Gilan, when we first sort of had him in studio here, he wasn't unknown. But to think what he's done in the last 3 years or so, it was just a lot of corporate work where he goes in and just shake things up for these people. So the third hour today, you get to enjoy an interview with him and Gareth. But first, what I think we should do is play a song. Seriously, I'm going to fight this thing one day and it's going to be ugly. We're going to play a song, and then we've got Gillen Gork coming up next. If you're going to have a great weekend on the source, well, drink and drive safely, or just don't do either one of those two together. And we'll be back on Monday without Gareth for one last time. But then after that, he'll be back with many, many story about being in Val d'Isère, and it'll be lots of fun. So we look forward to that. Okay, seriously, it's like it's playing a joke on me, Mubs. It's like it's playing a joke on me. I've done everything right.
You know what? I'm looking at this unfolding right before my eyes. It's not your fault.
Bloody hope not. Gilan Gork up next with Gareth Cliff.
This is CliffCentral.com.